local people come to the police station and protest, and the police decide, you know, didn't even have the respect that a young man has died.
Five police officers and an immigration officer broke in her flat and killed her.
This is not just a crisis between the police and the black community. This is a crisis of democracy.
Four families have all lost loved ones at the hands of the Metropolitan Police Service.
Police, things that go on with police, even it might be something small like a little police brutality and them things there, and these things happen. They do, in this day and age, they happen.
Britain burned as a result of injustice.
This is a film about memory. I cannot remember a time when I have not been travelling. In 1973, this was the image that dominated me. It towered over the council estate that we lived on, and it represented the brutality of our lives. My mother worked as a waitress, and my father on the production line at Ford's in Dagenham. 40 years later, people are wondering why Britain burns. Just look at the working class, and you will find your answers. Films make us feel we can travel in time. It's the 26th of October 2013 in central London, and the families of those who have died at the hands of the police deliver a letter to the Prime Minister to demand justice for their loved ones. It is the 15th year they have done this. They will not give up. Some of these deaths led to uprisings, others did not, yet they are all part of a collective memory, all part of not forgetting.
That was the worst day ever of my life, and the most difficult, because I got a phone call from Simone and I couldn't make heads or tails of this phone call because all I could hear was a screaming. Eventually, I managed to get the words, the saying, "Mark is dead." And I still don't know why I'm saying who's saying Mark's dead. Who is saying Mark is dead? She said, "Everybody." She said, "But I'm not going to believe it until I see his body." So I was asking, "Where is Marlon?" She said, "He's with me." So I said, "Put him on the phone." And then all I could hear was Marlon screaming, screaming, screaming. So I kind of got it that this is real.
Very latest from the Metropolitan Police is that they have riot trained, or are coming under sustained attack from bottles and other objects. That are a situation that's unfolding.
One blow too far, one slap too many, one trigger pulled, the lid explodes. Running on embers of the night, the youth now feel a sense of freedom. They had their say, they took the streets, withdrew consent, and beat the officers back. The look of pride in some is not misplaced. What separates a spark from revolution is just the place. When ghettos burn in vain, contained to where poor people live, the steam's let off until it burns again. Short was the feast, for a few nights the youth went wild. The reason for this madness, no hope, no jobs, the cops, or just revolt against the beast. Hold up just now and spare some thought, if it would be the same, if the corridors of power next time could feel the flames. Pure foolishness to burn our streets. So next time just take pity. It's not too far down the A10 to march and burn the city.
The people were angry because they had just killed Duggan.
Local people come to the police station and protest. And the police decide, you know, didn't even have the respect that a young man has died, you know, to come out and address and talk to the people. But what was their reaction? Their reaction again was to attack a young black woman.
It started off as a peaceful protest to obviously get some answers which weren't being put forward to the people. So then a girl was pushed, and obviously that was the we're not having it. So from there, that's when it sparked, and then obviously everything else came as a result from it. So it's like a domino effect, in a sense, from the death to the protesting peacefully, to the girl getting pushed, to just out and out, just going all out, rioting.
I was hugely taken aback by the speed of the escalation and the levels of disorder that we saw coming from a localised incident in the Tottenham area and then spreading throughout the Sunday and the Monday night.
During times of civil unrest, the primary role of the police is to maintain the conditions that led to the reasons of the social unrest. Where civil unrest is born out of the contradiction between workers and the owners of the means of production, without exception and with whatever force is deemed necessary, the police will defend the interest of the ruling classes. There will never be scenes of riot police charging into the ranks of the ruling classes.
Things that go on with police, even it might be something small like a little police brutality and them things there, and these things happen. They do, in this day and age, they happen. When I'm in Wood Green, police will drive past me in a van and they'll wave a purple bandana at me because they know the colour for Wood Green is green. They do these things, you know, these things are real. They're happening every single day. Every single day. They all pick on you. And they do it, and they do it, and they push, and they push. And then when the numbers were there, that was the opportunity. That's what everybody saw sitting at home. I was sitting at home. The first thing I see when I turned on the news, even though I knew about it through my phone, the first thing I see was the numbers.
I think it's clear that we didn't mobilise quickly enough. Our intelligence processes to identify that there was a mobilisation of those who wished to engage in disorder by way of social networking and other social media. We didn't get that bit right, without a shadow of a doubt. And that's well documented, well published.
16,000 police officers were out in London the other day. You don't think there's people that can call 200,000 men who will come out their yard in 10 minutes?
I think there's nothing wrong with getting to a point in which that when our community is being targeted and harassed, we are able to develop a system of getting people out to show to the police that, you know what, we're not putting up with this kind of harassment. We're not putting up with this kind of brutality. And just by being there very often is enough to get people to back off. We don't have to go and necessarily be violent or anything with people. All we're simply saying is that, you know, we are not going to accept this brutality. We're not going to accept this harassment. And the only way in which that they're going to recognize that and respect that is when you're there as a force.
And so the foot soldiers, exhausted, stand down, a wasteland unclouded by the mist of their emotions, revealed amongst the burning debris and residues of poverty. They shake their heads, so far removed from the pleasant suburbs where their wives and 2.5 children wait. Average, average, average. They do not have the vision. How can they understand explosions against brutal life? What do they care of daily struggle, of day-to-day existence? How can they know of those who sleep full of despair? How can they know of those who wake in anger? The looting of the toilet rolls is not a sign of madness. The cops tell tales of looting of the trainers, 50-inch TVs, and do not mention the desperate youth with Poundland trophies stuffed right in their pockets. And yet it is a blow against the wicked system that makes us all the slaves of money. The officers stare at the burning £1 shops, the plastic cups, the pens that leak, the trinkets and the useless tools, more evidence of poverty. To steal a drink of water, a bite to eat, is proof that we are down, is proof that while the few consume and have their fill, these officers will oversee the many left enslaved to pay the bills.
Thirty-odd thousand people within a population of, what's London, 7.5 million, 8 million more on a weekday where people come in and work, I would imagine. We are never going to be able to control London. This is not the type of policing that you see in so many other cities throughout the world, where there is a dominance of the people. We require consent.
The issue of the police is such a critical one, because once it doesn't take much in our community for people to respond. And if anybody has said to me, well, why did they respond to Mark Duggan in this particular way? Well, my answer to that, why have they not responded even more frequently?
I'd like to welcome those of you attended and thank you for coming. There's no good story here today, folks. This is Tottenham, 2011. That's not to say that we're a blighted community, but we are a community that, unlike this government, hasn't lost its collective memory. Today is the 26th anniversary of the killing of Cynthia Jarrett. The Jarrett family's here to my left. Also beside me is Myrna Simpson, the mother of Joy Gardner, who was also killed in Haringey. To my right is Mrs. and Mr. Sylvester, the parents of Roger Sylvester, who was also killed in Haringey. And beside them is Sean Hall, the brother of Mark Duggan, who was also killed in Haringey. And when you take these photographs today, I want you to stop and think. Where have you ever taken such a similar photograph? We're in England. Has the media ever been gathered together and asked to look at four families who live within a 3-mile radius of each other? Four families who are part of what used to be a strong community here in Tottenham. Four families who have all lost loved ones at the hands of the Metropolitan Police Service. Joy Gardner, Myrna's daughter, was accused of being an overstayer. And Myrna will now tell you what her punishment was for overstaying in this wonderful democratic country.
Five police officers and an immigration officer broke in her flat and killed her. Joy was murdered in her home by putting 13 feet of tape around her head and putting shackles on her feet and body belt around her stomach, and she couldn't breathe and she died. And still there is no justice. There is no justice, but we need justice for our children, for our grandchildren, and for our great-grandchildren. Thank you.
Yes, I've been going for 20 years fighting for Joy, because Joy has got Graham, and Graham hasn't got a mother, and I have standing for a Joy.
From the government's point of view, no one from their side has actually gone out of their way to even find out how well I'm doing and what I might be interested in and how to make my life better or how to improve my life in any form or way. There's been no justice in terms of the police being prosecuted, going to jail, or anything along them lines. And there's just been no moral support, period, nothing. So, I said, I've had to deal with that. So I've had to come all that way by myself and bear this cross and still keep it going. So, as far as I'm concerned, they ain't done nothing, man. I don't see them doing nothing now.
At that violent hour, the media do not speak of stop and search, of school children forced against the wall, humiliated for doing nothing at all. They do not speak about the cruelest blows that fall on people in the dead of night when officers decide to show their might. At that violent hour, we do not see the pictures of spilt blood or hear the burning rage that generations pass from skin to skin and then from age to age. We know the name of that slain officer whose death has cursed a generation, but who can name the sisters and the brothers who died so long before their time? But who can name the sisters and the brothers who died as victims of police crime? The media practices amnesia, select the pictures, then concoct a spell, the narratives dictated by the government, and it's a story that the television tells. At this violent hour, they do not speak with words of reason. They fan the flames and play the tune of state. This media would fill our heads with panic. This media would fill our hearts with hate.
Buildings, they're buildings, they're just shells. Same way everybody's stealing clothes, they're just shells. Yeah? It's not about how it's gonna get rebuilt or what it's gonna look like when it's rebuilt. It's about things changing. They have to change first. If they don't change, then there is no rebuilding.
My involvement with the riots, with the disorder, was in the Monday night in Hackney. And what I saw on that night was opportunism. Criminality, but linked with opportunism. I struggled to link it to any form of rebellion against the police, if you like.
The same thing they're doing in the news, trying to cover the killing with the looting, is the same thing they do in real life. They cover the backwards ways with big buildings, this, they keep covering, and then you get a stack. But what's happening through the riots is the stack is pulling back, and what they don't realise is if it pulls back to the last extent and everybody can see it for what it really is, which is a backwards world, then that's when it will kick off.
The existence of the ghetto is at once a statement of the exposure of the lie of the impartiality of the state as a benign power at the service of society. The ruling classes are concerned only with the comfort of their own lives, and if the ghetto burns, then it burns. But woe betide a disorder where the hordes of the ghetto try to approach the avenues of the elite.
Just like the 80s, Cameron's come to finish off Thatcher's job. So if you remember, Thatcher created the misery in the 80s by ripping people's livelihoods away from them, the jobs, the miners, etc. You know, Cameron is no different. He's come to do the same thing, i.e. cutting benefits, cutting students' grants. So now you can't afford to go to college, you cannot afford to go to university. You've got a lot of intelligent, articulate youngsters out there, you know, that if you give them a chance, they will thrive, but they're not even given a chance. They're stuck on some council estates that's like not fit for anybody to live in, but they're expected to live there, and that is all they have got.
This is not just a crisis between the police and the black community. This is a crisis of democracy in terms of how we as a society are going to be governed. And are we going to be governed by just these elites and these lawless police, or is it going to be governed by the people? And I think with that understanding, we can build up a base of resistance.
Right now, what's going on, the movement that's going on, it's, we're trying, when it stops, it will stop only because the majority think the views got across. Then the politics will get into it. Politics will not stop this.
These failing politicians have now lost the plot. They wallow in their dirty lakes of secret deals. Corruption stains the walls that seep with blood. Each sneer confirms their hatred of the working class. Whilst fires burn, they're quick to jump up on TV to blame the youth. They give a hand to judges who send down men for years for stealing bread, destroying families in their wake. They want to crush the feral scum and throw away the key. These politicians won't curse the multi-million corporations who rob us blind. They act as whores to capital and mock the victims of their greed. The pensioners who freeze to death that can't afford the fuel. The suicides killed by their bills when profit is the rule. Instead, they take us all to war, despite our protests, despite our pleas to not drop bombs on children and their mothers, they claim their brutal interventions are for the good of man, upholding human rights with phosphorus as only white men can. How strange that when the fires burn so close to home, they're quick to scream contempt at what's unleashed. To those the politicians did betray, it's time for us to move and seize the day.
Al, this government can come up with his hypocrisy to talk about Syria, to talk about all of these so-called oppressive regimes around the world. Well, we've got to get to a point in which that our international brothers and sisters and comrades are able to rise up and show and demonstrate that this government here has got no right to lecture the world about human rights when you see how it's treating its own citizens here.
A riot, by its very definition, is not an individual act, but a public one. A violent act of social disorder. The fact that the riot is a collective statement does not mean that it's the harbinger of social justice. Quite often, the exact opposite, as the state uses these moments to institutionalize cohesion even more.
I think looking at learning the lessons from 2011 going forward, one thing that we really must do is monitor the sentiment and the intelligence coming out of social networking. Social networking wasn't here in 1985, 1981. There was no such thing. I don't think there was even 24-hour news channels on those particular occasions. So in this digital age, the message communicates quickly. And as a result of that, the police must stay ahead of that. So if there is a significant critical incident in London where people are concerned, where people are aggrieved, possibly with the police, with the government, with the community, whatever it happens to be, we must stay ahead of that, use our intelligence, and be prepared to mobilise sufficient resources so that we do or are able to nip situations in the bud if they arise.
Mark's brothers, sisters are all grieving, so much so that they still can't come to terms with it. I found a strength from somewhere and I don't know where.
This is where Mark's life ended, and he must have been in fear, that's the last few minutes of his life. The only consolation we have is that he most probably died within 4 seconds of being stopped. And we just hope and pray that he didn't realise what was happening to him at that time.
I feel I have got to do this, because if I didn't, Mark would just be forgotten, swept under the carpet, his death, like so many hundreds of others. In a sense, we're lucky that we got legal aid. We're lucky that we got the recognition that we did. We're lucky to keep Mark's name alive. Hundreds of people haven't had that. They've had to carry on their lives with the deaths of their loved ones just swept under the carpet and forgotten. I don't want Mark to ever be forgotten.
Britain burned as a result of injustice. Injustice caused the fires. And it's only justice which is going to quell it. So even though we may have a temporary respite, as long as the issue of justice is not being addressed, then you can expect to see more fires.
Well, I think it's one law for the police and another law for ordinary people. With joy, they would have rioted if I didn't ask them not to riot. Because I wanted everything to be peaceful, and I thought that I would have gotten justice for joy, but it wasn't to be. That's why I'm still fighting.